Good news, everyone!
It's Jake Seeley.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
I'm great! Everybody else sucks!
Let's get dangerous!
Yes, sir, random kid I just met!
It's time to check the link.
Oh, wait, you serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention for me.
In all.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No. Burn.
What is up, you Ducks, fantasy fans, and Disney fans? It's All in Football. That's right. This week was the top 10 Disney animated songs, to be clear, because I said if we start getting into the other Disneyverse of worlds of things, I mean, you could say Star Wars is owned by Disney, and then you have to have Pirates of the Caribbean is like the best instrumental theme song of all time. So yes, over Star Wars, come at me for that one. But I think, Meanie, the most surprising thing as we get into the week 9 ranks is not that people are like, how do you not have Tarzan and blah, blah, you know, like I gave honorable mention to like those ballads, like, you know, Phil Collins, yeah, and all that type of stuff. But
sure,
like my top 15, I actually couldn't get only 10. But somebody in the comments said, also underrated, albeit from a video game, the DuckTales Moon theme. I'm like, dude, like, have you never heard the podcast? Have you never read anything when I talk about how great the DuckTales songs are? Like, are you just new to me? What the hell's going on?
Not underrated in Jake's world. Not at all. Yeah, just taking a look at this morning, I'm a fan. Number two, I thought would be number one.
I went back and forth and back and forth, but I went with the fact that the earwig, and it's more fun, but I'll make a man out of you. Like, as soon as you sing it, you're stuck in your head for the next 15 days.
Yeah.
Like this. And if you haven't seen it, click that link, not right now, meaning because you're on the show with me, but everybody else, click on that rock version of I'll Make a Man Out of You. And trust me, it's like the guy's voice is like a Nordic Viking voice. Like, it's just, it's terrific.
I'm not sure I've ever heard it. I'm excited. I'm going to do it immediately after this. In fact, a lot of these songs will be stuck in your head for a few days.
100%.
If you sing them. Yeah.
100%.
Catchy.
So the Jackie Chan version is a must too. I haven't seen that one. I have to see the Jackie Chan. That's from Fox. But yeah, we are talking week 9 fantasy football ranks. That's what we're here for. We're going to go through the games, all the matchups, all the players. But the big news, no more Josh McDaniels. He out the door. Like, it's,
finally.
Why do we do this in the dark of night? Like, it's just like, I wake up and I'm like, oh, he's gone? Like, after the trade deadline? Like, it's just like, this is, I don't get it. I have no idea. But anyway, and now on top of it, Meanie, it's Aiden O'Connell might start at quarterback, which I get. I actually understand that. That's the same thing as we're going to talk about the Vikings situation in a little bit. But I get, like, okay, let's evaluate. You know, spent a draft pick. There's some highlight plays here and there that you could say. There's some promise. He didn't look too great in his one, I guess, for full game out there. Was it 0 touchdowns and an interception or 1-1, whatever it was. It was fine. Get a little spark in the offense. I don't think it could be as bad as Garoppolo was last week, but let's be fair. Maybe, like, Garoppolo wasn't all around terrible. For the first 3-4 weeks, we were talking about, holy crap, all he does is throw to Davante Adams and Jacoby Myers. This is actually great because it's two guys getting 60% of the volume. We can trust them every single week, but we haven't been able to trust Davante Adams since that time. Mm-hmm. So with the switch to Aiden O'Connell, where are you going with this? Like, I can see it in your face. I've known you long enough to, like, yeah. I know you're the little tiny ticks in your facial cues. I can
yeah,
see it.
Yeah, you can see it. The writing is on my face. You know, I think that I don't know what, first, I don't know why the firing happened at like 2 a.m. Eastern. I think maybe potentially I think Davis potentially wanted some moves to be made, like let's sell, right? And then there was all these reports that people were calling about Adams and Crosby, and then no trades happened, and then he's just like, you know what, screw it, it's over, we're gonna clean house. And I think we'll really see some moves in the offseason. But, you know, a matchup against your Giants, you know, young corners, young secondary, but I still just, it's tough to trust these guys. Like, last week was pretty frustrating. I want to give credit to the Detroit Lions defense, but some of the throws were off. Like, you're right, it wasn't all on Jimmy. There was a bad drop from Hopkins and to Adams in the middle of the field. But there was a couple plays where he was just completely wide open, busted coverage, and the throws were nowhere close to him. I know everybody saw it on primetime, and Devontae's freaking out, and you know, he's talking about it in the press conference. And
I legit
like that,
lost it laughing. Somebody tweeted the gif of, remember, I mean, this is now like probably 10 years ago, where the last play before the half and the guy chucks the ball, NBA, and it goes into the stands like 20 rows deep. And it's like, Devontae Adams is open, Jimmy Garoppolo. I just lost. I was so
it's
funny.
Like that Fresh Prince clip too, right? When Carlton takes the last shot instead of Will, and it's just like nowhere close to the basket. It's just like just pathetic.
It's the one.
I would like to see Jimmy understand.
Was Davis just laying in bed and he's like, hey, you up? And he didn't get a response and he's like, so, we're done?
Like, I'd like to read this. Is that what it was? I Fox and Jake, I don't know if you guys saw this in the FTN Slack, but it was from Daniel Kelly. And I don't know if it's pretty long, so I don't read it all, but I could read pretty quickly. Just apparently the last straw, and I don't know how legit this is, but man, it would be hilarious if it was the truth. Apparently the last straw was when McDaniels, who is well known around the league is circles as a guy who goes all out for Halloween, came to the Raiders facility dressed as Mark Davis the day after losing to the Lions on Monday Night Football. Davis seemed to take it in stride at first. He appeared to laugh and even ordered his now trademark PF Chang's lunch delivered to Coach McDaniels to quote, complete the look.
This is so made. This is, I hope.
After the two had eaten, Davis suggested McDaniels read his fortune cookie, which read, "You're fired, hotshot," according to multiple sources who viewed it at the resort or whatever. It's not true. It can't be true. But I really hope that that's how it went down.
Would it be anything more Raiders than something like that happening?
No. Don't you want Jimmy, though? I feel I get it as an organization to just see what you have in the young buck.
But I feel like
this offense is better with Jimmy under center.
So I think better it's more known. I think it's more known with Jimmy Garoppolo. And I think that if he was playing well at all, we'd be excited for a Devontae Adams bounce back. So I was actually going to bring this up because this is the matchup we're talking about here. Since week four, a lot of the things I did in the matchups this week, I went back to week four. I try to grab the last 5 weeks because you get 4 weeks from every single game. And I do that throughout the season. You know this. Like, you get kind of trends, and you know, using the first 3 weeks for the full season, you could have shifts in defenses, adjustments made, offenses adjustments made, all that. So I try to get a little bit more capture of recency. So since week four, now mind you, this is Seattle, Miami, Buffalo, Washington, and the Jets. The Giants actually have the third toughest pass EPA. Let me mention those names again. Seattle, Miami, Buffalo, and Washington is playing really good. Sam Howell's only got two bad games. One of them was against the Giants and the Jets. Jets, throw them out. Those are some tough opponents to have a really good pass EPA against. So, yes, rookie corners. And on the flip side, I mentioned this as well. They have two corners in the bottom 25 for top best cover. Like, you get, they're the worst. Yeah. They're among the worst. Adoree Jackson and Trey Hawkins, the rookie from ODU. I love Trey Hawkins, but he's a rookie. He's out of ODU, too. They're among the two of the 25 worst. So the corners still stink, but the defense has been playing well. But they traded Leonard Williams too. So are you, which way you can look at this? You can honestly take these stats, and that's why I say, like, some of these stats are just informational because they can actually contradict each other, as does the pass EPA and then the rookie corners and everything struggling. So do you think this is a good matchup, or do you think that they've just been playing better defense and Wink Martindale's come around with what he has?
Yeah, I think the latter. I think that they're just playing good defense lately. I was really impressed with them against the Bills. I thought that that was a phenomenal game defensively that they played in Buffalo. And then you mentioned Howell. I mean, it's a low total game. You know, I could see myself sitting Jacoby. Adams, I have ranked
really
19.
Arguably, if you strip the names off the back of the jerseys, you'd be benching Adams, not Jacoby.
Yeah, because he's been more consistent. Yeah, he has been, apart from last week, he has been the most consistent wide receiver of the two because nobody else gets the ball. But I suppose in 10-team leagues, I can see myself just sitting both of these guys this week and saying whatever. Of course, you always hear, you know, when they fire the coach, everybody steps up. And that's fine to say, but it's the personnel. Like, you have to have the personnel to be able to just step up and, oh, they're not just going to score 45 points this week because McDaniels is not there. Like, I just don't see that happening. A low total game, I don't think we'll see a lot of offense. I got these guys as low end wide receiver twos.
Okay. On the flip side, if you want to stick with this game real quick, whether they step up or not, it could be a lot of a Josh Jacobs game. So two things since week four. First on Josh Jacobs, third in RB touch percentage, 84.8. Third in team target percentage for all running backs at 17.7 and 12th in fantasy points per game. By the way, the Giants 4.8 yards per carry and a league high 5.2 since week four. Again, since week four, Kenneth Walker, the Dolphins, understandably, but James Cook, Brian Robinson in that backfield and the Jets backfield, which I guess Breece Hall at this point is back to being Breece Hall. But again, they're just getting decimated on the ground. And again, they traded Leonard Williams. This is all before now not having Leonard Williams anchoring that defensive line. So on the Giants side, would you start anybody with Daniel Jones? I said Wandell Robinson and a full point PPR as a wide receiver four because that's the guy he kept going to. I'm actually concerned, even if healthy, I'm concerned for Darren Waller. Darren Waller wasn't a thing until Tyrod Taylor got a quarterback.
Yeah, you know, I don't think you can start Darren Waller. I really don't. I think it's just too risky at this point. And I heard Sunday morning on the ESPN broadcast, I forget who the reporter was, she was talking about basically load management, how the Giants and Waller had this understanding that he could only practice so much to keep him healthy for the rest of the season. This is not what you want to hear, right? There's already been a couple times this season where he's had to leave the game because of the hamstring injury. Then the big zero last week. The 2 weeks before that with Taylor, it was great. I see the ceiling like everybody else. He's a really good player when he's on the field. He would be the number one option for whatever quarterback is on the field. You can say that with confidence, but I just don't think you, at this time of the season, I don't think you can risk it with guys like McBride and Taysom Hill and Ferguson.
Oh, that's, these are guys that's where I was about to go.
Those are guys I have ranked ahead of him this week.
No, not just ranked ahead of him. So Kyler Murray, that's what I was about to say. Kyler Murray sounds like he was supposed to be back next week. He's possible for this week, but now it's. But then they kind of backtracked a little bit again. And now it's like they expect him to hopefully play next week, which is kind of. So if you had to, I don't want to carry two tight ends, like unless you're kind of playing mix and match and there's nothing on the waivers. I can understand that, but I still really don't want to. Right. If you're only carrying one tight end, would you drop Darren Waller for not? We know Dalton Kincaid. I would do the same thing. But would you drop him for Trey McBride? Would you make that swap?
Yeah, I would. I would. I mean, I don't love it this week, and Dobbs is really targeting the tight end position. But last week,
it's not
the Ravens.
Dobbs. We have to talk about that too.
I know. The Ravens were number one in the NFL against tight ends last week, and he popped off. And then this week, they got the Browns, who are like number two in the NFL against tight ends and allowing fantasy points, fewest. So I don't think we can just say, hey, the matchup is tough. I mean, he just proved like last week the matchup was tough and he was great. I'd like to see Kyler under center. And if I'm Arizona, I'm probably saying, you know what, with Cleveland on the schedule, even if he's not part of their long-term plans and it's just showcasing him to say he's healthy, he still has it, he's available in the offseason if you want him. Like, let's maybe play him next week after, you know, the Browns are off the schedule. But yes, I would. And Ferguson, I like against the Eagles. Those are guys I'm carrying two tight ends in a couple leagues because I have Laporta on bye. But I think those are two guys that you can play this week and just roll them out the rest of the year. They're healthy at the moment.
Yeah. So the Browns allow the least passing in yards per game. 163.3. Really 163.
Here you go, Kyler. No.
You see what they did that or why they did that. So on the flip side, the Cardinals are actually allowing the highest completion over expectation in 9.2. The Panthers are second. Worst. Cowboys, minus 6.6. So, good matchup. Is this a get-right week for Amari Cooper, even with P.J. Walker? If it's not Deshaun Watson again, which it doesn't sound like it. I mean, look, I'll throw one thing out, too, as well. Amari Cooper, 26% of the team's targets without Deshaun Watson, has turned into 13 receptions for 235 yards and zero touchdowns. So, would you start Amari Cooper with P.J. Walker?
My flex team couldn't be any worse, man. Like, it just couldn't be any worse. These guys, like Garrett Wilson and Amari Cooper.
You know what happened? Goodness. You sat next to me, and my luck, like, permeated you through, like, osmosis.
I'm more mad at EY. Like, EY's got all the guys that I loved this season, like Montgomery and Pacheco and A.J. Brown. He just, like, next to me, just stealing them all.
He was picking right before
and,
us.
And every, yeah, and oh, every pick, like,
he was
chuckled.
On your side.
Yeah, he's on my side to my left, and he picked before me. And then, but he's still like every pick he made, he like this little chuckle. And I'm like, screw you, guy, man. Like, you know how much I love Pacheco. Anyways, Amari Cooper, I mean, the matchup is fantastic, right? You just talked about it. I mean, the Cardinals are among the leaders in allowing yards to wide receivers and fantasy points.
Amari Cooper versus Jacoby Myers with Aiden O'Connell.
I'll probably go Amari Cooper.
That doesn't feel
great. Doesn't feel great, but I do actually have him ranked a couple spots ahead because of the matchup.
Actually, speaking of Jay, you see Jay in Flex League. So Sleeper messed up. Sleeper had a hiccup, and I don't know why. Actually, he sent me the screenshot. It's his first waiver priority. It said your roster will be filled, and then the very next waiver priority, his second waiver priority, it did it. It was the same. He dropped the same defense on both, and it filled the second after it said the first would be full. So I got to go back and fix that. He was trying to pick up the Titans defense, and that's going to be fun because it's like legit. I got to go back and change it. Another thing Sleeper doesn't have, I go back to this again. If you have Fab, when there's a tie, it should go to the lower seeded team. There shouldn't be this arbitrary numbering of teams where like there's no, because waiver priority is out the window. Like there is no waiver priority. Like it doesn't ever shift too. It's just randomly whatever they did after the draft. So if there's a tie in Fab, it goes to the lower seeded team, or I guess ranked schedule, whatever standings. Standings. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for.
That's a good call.
I had too much candy last night, trick or treating with Denise. And it's a, oh, you should see. Should I tweet out the costumes that we were wearing?
Yes,
of course.
I was
in a shark onesie, and Nicole's in a unicorn onesie.
Deanna had a unicorn onesie last night, too, for work.
The funniest thing was, is I showed up with a shark thing, and then my nephew's best friend actually had a shark one, too. He had left shark, though. Or was it right shark? It was left shark, right? Left shark was the wrong shark? I don't remember. Whichever's the shark that like was the one that was doing his own thing during the Super Bowl.
Got
really bright there. All right, so let's go back. Let's backtrack here a little bit. The Titans, I want to ask you this. So their run defense hasn't been as terrifying as it used to be. Actually, since week four, they've been the eighth highest yards per carry. Again, they face the Ravens in there and stuff like that, but it's not as bad as it used to be. Is there any world where you want to start Najee Harris this week? That's the question. That's the real question.
I have him in one league, and I have to start Najee Harris. And I was putting together my lineups last night, and I just did not like the feel and the look of it.
I sabotage dropped him a few weeks ago. I was like, I'll purposely drop him to let somebody else pick him up and put him in their lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I have Dave Montgomery, who obviously has been hurt and is on the bye. So I've been rolling him out and hope best case scenario is a goal line touchdown. And that's kind of what's happened over the past couple of weeks. He's been flirting with around 10 fantasy points. I just don't see where the ceiling is. Like Tomlin is definitely married to this guy. The snap counts have been basically 50-50 between him and Warren over the past few weeks. But he still gets the majority of the carries. Yeah. And he gets the goal line work there. So I mean, Warren definitely looks like the fresher back. I mean, put it on repeat. We've been saying this all season long, but I don't love the spot. I have him outside my top 24. I think there are multiple, like even a Mark is a guy that I would put out there. And the both Rams backs, maybe.
So I broke down Will Levis in the waivers a little bit on Twitter, too, with the fact that this is exactly who Will Levis is. Flicks the ball out deep. They just have it done, gone. See it. Like, big plays. The short to intermediate game is a question, and you saw that, and I brought up the fact that it was a very good debut. I'm not saying it wasn't. Like, if I had graded it on a scale of 10, probably give it a 7. But I give it a 7 because those short to intermediate, what I brought up is there's 3 to 4 receptions he probably could have added to it just by his placement. He could have had an interception. And even one of those big plays, DeAndre Hopkins adjusted. I say all that to say, like, there's still improvement to be made. And Will Levis still look good. It's who Will Levis is. This is why, because we have conflicting stats here, and I want to see what means more to you. The Steelers actually allowed the highest yards per route run since week four in the entire league. They haven't exactly faced the who's who of great passing offenses. It was Houston, Baltimore, Rams, Jaguars. So two pretty good ones, but like, I mean, again, it's like you're not getting lit up by the Baltimore Ravens in yards per route run. So there's one stat. On the flip side, I brought this name up to you last week, Meany, because now he's a full-time starter, and he's been moving up and moving up and moving up. The now highest-graded corner in man coverage is one of Joey Porter Jr. He spends 86% of the time on the left. DeAndre Hopkins, almost 50% of the time, lined up with Joey Porter. So, DeAndre Hopkins must start or not.
I don't think he's a must start. I would like if he played a little bit more on the perimeter, because what I have noticed so far this season, I mean, the Steelers allowed the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers, is these perimeter wide receivers like Ayuk popped off 129 and 2 touchdowns. And Amari Cooper, hey, he had a game, 90 yards.
Yeah, but Devontae
Adams,
$172. Look, the last
Nico Collins, $168. And then Puka at 154. But yeah, you're right. Even Ridley, though, last week, 83 yards. So I am seeing Porter Jr. uptick. I know he, I think he missed some time last week in and out in terms of snaps, but definitely when he's on the field, things do change. I mean, the Steelers bring pressure more than basically anybody in the NFL. They can get after it. So they could really make Will Levis's life pretty difficult here. I think it's going to be a tough go for him this week on Thursday Night Football against the Steelers defense. So I don't think that Hopkins is a must start. I had him as a sit last week. Everybody told me.
I don't think everybody. I think a lot of people had Hopkins. No, look, this is the worst part. I had Hopkins, Devonta Smith, and Jalen Waddle all in the those mid-20s because I'm like, how can – we still know they have top 10 upside, but they only have two good games. All three of them said, you know what? Screw you. We're having a third good game. We're having amazing third games. I don't think they're any different than who they were. That 1 week doesn't change who they were. Devonta Smith, to go back to it, had four games – actually, I think five if you include late in the season, of single digits. He already has four this year. Like, this is just, this is a different year.
Without making a list, Hopkins is a guy that I would, unless you want to.
No, go ahead.
We may have to. For example, DJ Moore, that may be a decision that you have, Hopkins or DJ Moore. I mean, I really like DJ Moore and the explosiveness. We all like DJ Moore, but I just don't know if I can trust Badgett against the Saints defense at the moment. Here's another guy that,
if he plays this week, Drake London or DeAndre Hopkins?
Man, I really want to see your boy Heinicke under center for Atlanta. I really want to see that. According to reports, Ritter was good to go to come back into that game, and they decided to go with Heinicke. I'm sure they're going to go back to Ritter. Is that locked in? There you go. Is that confirmed? Because Arthur Smith was reportedly going to tell the media today who he was going to go with that quarterback. I think we all assume it's Ritter.
I think we're still waiting today, but it is.
I would go with
Ritter. Having the games with London. He was the one who was making London good.
Yeah, but Heinicke, I think, could untap them.
Heinicke could also go sideways. Heinicke's seen sideways. Heinicke is lesser arm Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I dig it. Yeah.
I mean, you might get 303 with an interception. Yeah. There's going to be an interception in there, but you also might get 171 and four interceptions. It's just as likely.
Ritter could do that too, but Ritter can't do the 350 and three. Heinicke could do that if Arthur Smith allowed him.
I don't even know if Heinicke could do that with this offense. Let's be honest.
Yeah, maybe not. Matchup against the Vikings, though, we all know.
You didn't answer the question.
I would go Hopkins.
Hopkins? Okay.
Just all right, I think same tier, though.
Okay. Well, we have to talk about this game. So the Vikings, they're not starting Josh Dobbs this week. And let's be clear for everybody out there, also Superflex, two quarterback and all that type of stuff. There's no guarantee Josh Dobbs plays for them. Right. Joshua Dobbs has experience. Yes. So you brought in somebody who has the experience. If we have the scenario where he fails at quarterback, Jaren Hall doesn't look good. But if Jaren Hall looks good, why wouldn't the Vikings evaluate him for the rest of the season? That's what I brought up. If Jaren Hall surprises, let's say he pulls a Will Levis, even two touchdowns. Mm. Let's just say he goes out and throws 270, two touchdowns, and a pick. They're going to give him another start. They're going to give him chances to see if maybe Jaren Hall is the answer. More likely not than he is. I mean, there's a reason he was drafted as late as he was. And what I brought up about Jaren Hall is he's basically inverse Will Levis. He's bizarro Will Levis. Like in the Superman universe. He's bizarro Will Levis. He's amazing in the short to intermediate game. Don't ask him to throw downfield. Don't ask him to throw those hard passes to the sideline as they're breaking out in the post. Yeah. Don't ask him to do that because that's where he struggles. But he can throw people open. Oh, by the way, Jordan Addison, KJ Osborne, Brandon Powell, TJ Hockenson, when Justin Jefferson comes back, throwing people open is not going to be a problem when you have those kind of weapons. So, again, I'm only just saying, there's no guarantee Joshua Dobbs is at quarterback. For this week, we do have Jaren Hall. I just mentioned everything about him. Are you still starting Jordan Addison? Because I am. KJ Osborne falls into a wide receiver four conversation because there still could be a limit to the offense as well. It could be a lot of ground game. It could be one touchdown from him. It could be 200 yards. It could be a limited passing game.
Yeah, I would start Addison. I agree with everything you just said. I mean, Osborne, I would try to look for other options. I have Jordan Addison ranked lower than I have over the past couple weeks. He's late 20s for me as opposed to a wide receiver two. Last week, he was a top 15 guy for me. If it was Kirk Cousins this week, he'd be a top 15 guy for me. The ability, the explosiveness that he has, the route running, the way to get open, right? Those sort of things, even if he struggles and he only has a couple catches, say the targets are there, but he can't connect with a couple. It just takes 2 to 3 catches for him to top, 50, 60 yards. We've already seen that a bunch of times this year, him find the end zone. I think that if you're an Addison owner and you're a Hawkinson owner, you love hearing that they got Dobbs, and I get it. Complete percentage is not good. The games lately have been bad, but it is still an upgrade over what they have in their quarterback room with Kirk Cousins going down. So, I would start Jordan Addison. I do have Josh Downs ranked ahead of him. I got both Pittsburgh wide receivers ranked ahead of him, T. Higgins, Gabe Davis, but he's a wide receiver 3. And I think if you have him, you hope for the best here.
I have Higgins in front of him. I don't have Downs. And Downs is my boy. I actually had Downs 2 spots behind him. Where would you go, Rashee Rice versus Jordan Addison?
Ooh. I think I would go Addison. But, man, Rice, it kind of seems like our guy. Among the leaders in yards after catch and red zone targets. And this game, too, in Germany.
Here's the good thing.
Could be 55-plus points.
Well, I was going to say, so the good thing is, by the way, do you know who the number one graded corner overall period done, is right now? Jalen Ramsey. First game back. Number one graded corner in the NFL. First game back. Here's the good news.
Yeah.
He spends 90% of the time on the right side of the field.
Yeah, he won't move around.
And where does Rashee Rice play 50% of the time? The slot.
Yeah.
Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Justin Watson are the ones that play outside and have to worry about Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. Some of those Miami numbers, too, like when you look at them now, I love that you're taking a look at the last 4 weeks. It's very important to do something like that because the first 4 weeks is really just trying to find an identity for some of these teams. Now we have an identity. It's like pretenders and contenders. We can label those squads. But now, like when you look at Miami, they're among the leaders in allowing points to wide receivers and yards. And some of that makes sense because they're up significantly in all their games. But now having Ramsey back in the field will tighten up this secondary a lot. I'm excited for Miami to see if they can make a legit push because they've only beaten up on bad teams so far.
And this is a pretty good defense. And to talk about the Dolphins, they're destroying the explosive play percentage, 18.8 through week 5. Next closest with the 49ers at 13.2. Since then, only 11.8 the past 3 weeks. And they faced Carolina, your Eagles, and the Patriots. Again, Patriots can do what they do. The Eagles defense, which we've seen, has been exploitable against the pass the entire year. It's what that really kills them in the run game. But, they're just not who they used to be. Still really good, but kind of nitpicky there. Let's go to the Rams because the Rams and the Packers situation is interesting. Darrell Henderson, 62% of the touches since he's taken over the past 2 weeks. Royce Freeman still getting the carries, still getting some of the goal line work. Would you start Darrell Henderson as an RB2 over Royce Freeman? Or in a situation against the Packers, do you think this might be a little bit more of a Royce Freeman type of game?
I think I have Henderson ahead of him. I saw what you saw last week, a goal line. Man, they gave Henderson that goal line touch at first, and then he didn't get in, and then Royce Freeman gets in. I think Royce Freeman is probably the better short yardage back, I think, at this point of both of their careers. But Henderson, a couple catches there, which kind of saved his day, ends up with double-digit fantasy points. He had a nice, I think, a 30-some-odd yard catch there to start the second half from Stafford. It really is about Stafford for me. I mean, I would play Henderson over Freeman. You're playing Kupp and you're playing Nacua, but let's be honest, this offense is going to be much better if it is Stafford under center, even if he just has like 45% of the strength in his thumb. I don't know. On the other side, I don't want to start any Packers.
I was going next. I love that.
I don't
want
to start any of them.
Evaluated the strength of the thumbs. here you go for Jordan Love.
On the side.
Since week 3. It actually even gets worse if I do only week 4. I actually gave him a little bit of a benefit by going to week 3, just so you know, on Jordan Love. So since week 3, second lowest completion percentage, PJ Walker is the only one that's worse than him. 5th lowest yards per attempt, 6th lowest touchdown interception rate, 9th highest on the flip side, off target percentage, 13.2. He is among the worst of the worst of the worst of the worst. However, you said any. I do have an argument to be made. I still think Romeo Doubs is in play as a wide receiver 3.
He's scoring touchdowns. So, it's as simple as that. He really is
here,
scoring touchdowns.
I've got a toss-up for you. This is why I brought it up. I got a toss-up of 4. You can even rank these 4. But is the conversation I think I would have with myself for Romeo Doubs. Romeo Doubs, Marquise Brown with Clayton Tune against the Browns, Joshua Palmer, iffy. Let's just assume he plays against the Jets, or Tyler Lockett against the Ravens. Is Dobbs not the best of those?
Yeah, at least two for me. Like, it may be Lockett ahead, but at least two. Yeah, you're right. I don't want to play Palmer, and I don't think he can. I think it's really risky. I know he left and then came back, but he's been dealing with this knee injury. And the Jets have just made every good quarterback look silly. They've just been they're just a really good defense, and they limit wide receivers.
And they made bad quarterbacks look like Childs.
They make bad quarterbacks
children. Childs.
They look like children. They look like little children in costumes. Dobbs.
Could the little Giants have done better than the actual Giants last week?
Very well done. Yes, of course. Of course they could have. Yeah, those other two guys are in really tough spots, right? Hollywood's in a tough spot, a lot of inexperience. Just Jordan Love, man, when I watch him play, I am just...
Whew, okay, I have one more for you.
He looks really, really bad. Watson,
I'll throw a name into this. I'll throw a name into this. Let's assume, because this is the only way he's playable, let's assume Curtis Samuel's not 100%. Jahan Dotson versus these four.
Yes, let's go.
You Jahan. Go Dotson?
Let's go. I mean,
even though Jameson Crowder got 8 billion targets.
So annoying. And that's part of the Eagles, man. They really do struggle. And I think this is going to be a Brennan Cooks week. I think Gallup may have a couple moments as well. But, yeah,
you know,
Crowder.
JC Jackson's actually been one of the worst corners graded in the NFL.
Oh, yeah. Using our wide receiver cornerback matchup tool, he's among the leaders in allowing yards for run cover.
All over Terry McLaurin.
Terry.
I kind of like Dotson if Curtis Samuel's that. And, again, the weird thing is Curtis Samuel – is replaced by Jameson Crowder because they're the slot options, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say I like Dotson more. But it's the fact that Dotson actually gets more targets and looks and opportunities on the field if Curtis Samuel is banged up.
One thing I will say is Bill continues to do this. He continues to take away the opposing team's best player. Waddle's a really good player, but Jalen Waddle's two best games this season have been against New England. I don't think that's a coincidence. It's Tyreek Hill. They do what they can. I mean, Hill still popped off for a touchdown. This week the focus will be to try to take away Terry. But, yeah, it's been a couple decent games from Jahan, and your boy Howell slinging it around the field.
Would you start?
I wouldn't play him over all of those.
Sorry, I panicked a little bit for anybody that was watching. So yeah, there's a toy, and they rip the head open, and it's got like this brown, like I don't even know how to describe it. Almost like this, like you would see on the ground, not hay, but something like that. It's like brown, but anyway. Yeah. And it was right next to them, so I thought one of them puked. That's why, because that's how it looks. So anyway, I'm talking about the dogs for anybody that's not watching. Going back to quarterback Sam Howell. So it's against the Patriots. Would you start Sam Howell as a top 10 quarterback this week? How about this one? Sam Howell against the Patriots or C.J. Stroud coming off a bad game going against the Buccaneers defense, which is actually not great, but it's not terrible either.
I would start Howell over C.J. I think the only thing different about our rankings is maybe I have Carr. I have Carr like at 8 or 9.
I see Carr getting a lot of love this week. The problem with Carr is I would prefer that if everybody didn't like him. Like, just everybody liking him makes me feel like, I think I put
$6 or $7 in flex league because I've been going through this, right? I have Fields and then I have Goff who's on bye. I'm like, $6 or $7 should be fine. Somebody spends like $14-15 on Carr. I'm like, holy crap. The one thing I will say about Carr, the last 3 weeks, I mean, the pass attempts, he had back-to-back with 50+. I think he's had three games in a row with 300 yards. I think I saw some silly stat the first time since Breeze. Like, obviously.
How about this? It's over Breeze. On FTN. They're running the second most plays per game only behind the Browns.
Yeah, that was what I was going to say, too.
Like, 70 plays per game? I would have never guessed the Saints. I would have guessed they were, like, at 60 or 55.
The only reason I looked at that was because the pass attempts from Carr. I'm like, wow. Because he had 50 and then 55 and then last week. So the one thing I will say about it is Derek Carr, and he could turn into a pumpkin at any moment, is that you also...
Halloween's over. You got to find something else. He turns into a turkey at any moment.
There you go, a turkey any moment. The ceiling does seem a touch capped because when they get inside the red zone, they use Taysom Hill. Like, Taysom Hill has rushing touchdowns over the past couple of weeks, even though he's running routes. Taysom Hill had a deep ball. What is going on? Is that the
stuff? They're like eating this stuff now. Keep talking.
I saw Taysom Hill throw a deep ball to Rashid Shaheed last week as well, so it kind of caps it. But this Bears team is is extremely bad, right? I don't even believe in the Chargers, and the Chargers were able to like move the ball against them pretty easily. So I think, you know, with the deep threats that they have in Olave and Shaheed and Kamara catching balls out of the backfield, I would say the Saints probably get to 30 points this week. So if Carr tosses a couple touchdowns, he'd probably finish ahead of CJ Stroud. So that's it. I mean, a couple spots. You have him at 11. He's like two spots ahead.
What about Bryce Young in this conversation?
Derek Carr is already a turkey. Good, hey, good stuff from Bryce Young. Carolina, just nobody's really talking about that. The Stroud versus Young, and it was all love for Stroud, and then Young had you know, some decent throws. They won that game. I don't think that Mingo is somebody that you can trust, but it's been a couple decent games over the past couple. Thielen has just been steady. I have him outside my four. I think you got him at 13.
Yeah. 13. He's facing the Colts. There is arguably the only thing better than Bryce Young facing the Colts would be facing his own damn defense.
Yeah.
Keep
well
talking.
Said.
I got to go pick up this whatever nonsense they're chewing on. Keep talking.
Yeah, you do it. Let's see. Stroud against Tampa would play over Bryce Young. Minshew over Carolina, I'd play over Bryce Young. Daniel Jones, would I play Daniel Jones against the Raiders over Bryce Young? Jake's saying no, probably not. I may consider it. I may consider that one. But no, I think where you have him is fine. Like, you know, Geno obviously against Baltimore is just extremely tough. And then Stafford, you know, if Stafford was fully 100% healthy, I'd have him as a top 12 quarterback just against the Packers here, who they just traded. Oh, my goodness.
That's what came out of the door.
It's like, yeah, it looks like hair off of a doll.
It looks like that. That what's that thing that's called that like a lot of stuff has like on like.
Can't help you.
I can't, I'm brain farting.
I don't know what you're talking about here.
It's
even Fox can't help
on farms and stuff like that. Usually, you know, scarecrows will have it. No, but it's that. It's this stuff.
Oh yeah,
like netting type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it's called. Fuzzy.
That's funny, fuzzy vomit. Yeah. Okay.
If Stafford was healthy, I would roll him out as a top 12. I have him, and I'm kind of waiting to see. And I know
I have him as he's playing, and I'm only playing him at 17, even against Green Bay, just because I don't, like you mentioned it, I don't know what the thumb is. What's the percentage of the thumb that you brought up earlier?
I don't know, 45% strength right now. But they just traded Douglas too, so they're another team that has just packed it in, the Packers.
Right.
They're brutal.
Well, let's go back because while I was picking up too, would you say Geno versus, you're playing Young over
this
point, right?
Yeah, I was saying I would have Geno higher, but the matchup is just extremely, it's just too tough. I see some Mac Jones comments. I don't know. Like, I just don't trust this New England offense at all. Like, I just don't see what
especially,
it is.
So, we'll get to the Patriots, but first on the Ravens thing that I wanted to bring up for the Seahawks and Geno Smith, 9.7% of their opposing drives ended a touchdown. That's the second lowest is the Jets at 12.8. Almost 5 percentage points, actually over 5 percentage points higher.
Geno and the Seahawks?
For the Ravens. The Ravens don't even allow 10% of drives to end in a touchdown. For the flip side, the Panthers allow 30.8. To give you an idea how bad that is. Wow. The Ravens are first. Oh, you can get DVOA over at FTN. The Ravens are first overall in defensive OA, first overall in pass defense DVOA, and fifth in rush DVOA. How concerned are you for Geno, Kenneth Walker, because we got some split with Jack Charbonnet last week, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, this entire team?
I'm concerned about all of them. Yeah. I Walker's the guy that you have and you just roll out there and you hope that he gets a rushing touchdown. I feel like we saw a little bit of Zach last week partly because of the matchup, but also like he wasn't 100%. He didn't practice a lot. So maybe that was part of it. I don't think we're seeing a change because Walker's been pretty solid for them, but like JSN, no, we mentioned Lockett. You know, only reason I like Lockett is because you gave me those options, but DK, yeah. DK and Walker are guys that I would play, but DK is he's more of a low end two and a high end three this week. The Ravens are legit.
Let me go down deep for some people that possibly have to make these decisions. Jackson Smith and Jigba, right now, I'm 10 under consensus. I feel like the shift's going to come down and it's going to get closer. I'd play Jonathan Mingo over him this week.
Over him.
Am I crazy?
No,
okay.
You're not.
Wendell Robinson over him?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only person Daniel Jones looks at.
Yeah, he's like six, seven targets for him.
Alan Lazard? against the Chargers. He's, for whatever reason, Zach Wilson was looking his way up crap ton last week.
Yeah, I could get behind it because it is the Chargers, and they really are a very bad defense. And I just don't want to start JSN. Like, I just don't think you can start him. I'm trying to think of, like, deep pulls.
Here, two
can
more.
You go any deeper than
more.
That?
Right. Yeah, I can. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who I have back-to-back with Khalil Shakir.
Oh, there's one. I would go Shakir.
You would go Shakir?
Yeah. I would hope that it's not an outlier.
I would move Shakir inside my top 50 if there's no Quentin Morris. I just don't trust him to go back to two tight ends if Morris is actually active, just because that's what they roll. But I love some Shakir. You know I like Shakir. And here's the last one. Great matchup for slot wide receivers, Darnell Mooney against the Saints. With Tyson,
you know,
Badgett.
Mooney may have a better game than Moore because of that matchup in the slot, but I just don't think the Bears are really going to move the ball that well. I mean, the Saints among the leaders in opposing quarterback completion percentage, they're near the top. Like, this is a very strong defense. We've been laughing all year about the Saints offense. They can't score 20 points. It's really all they've needed to do to almost have a perfect record this year. Like, their defense is really that good. And the Raiders, too, the only team that hasn't scored 20 points this year. Just a joke.
So, going back to the Patriots, two things is, let's talk about that. So, we have Demario Douglas.
There's a guy.
And Jalen Reagor and Juju Smith-Schuster. Demario Douglas, are you concerned that getting number one attention from the camp? I mean, granted, it's the Commanders' defense, but do you think that, like, he's not suited for this? Like, this was fine. He was fun. But as we've seen from other wide receivers, when thrust into that role, I mean, hell, we're talking about Calvin Ridley, the fact that he can't handle double team coverage.
Yeah,
like, so,
right.
Double team. I can't talk today. You know what I meant.
I know what you mean. I got you. Yeah, I'm concerned. I think you have to be concerned. Down. But the volume and the targets, I think it's, I mean, I don't think the ceiling is as high as Kendrick Bourne, our guy Bourne. He scored a touchdown last week, but this is just an opportunity here, right? This is a guy that could finish this game with 10 targets, and I would expect them to lead the Patriots in targets. Love to see a little bit more to Ramondre Stevenson catching balls, but that hasn't been a thing consistently this year. So against Washington, they just traded Young. They just traded Sweat. This is a team that is clearly just rebuilding at the moment. I think it's fair where you have him. I know he was a hot waiver wire pickup this week and even last week. Yeah, low end wide receiver 3, a flex. I mean, he may have a better campaign than any Packer or any Seahawk this week and any Giant. We can continue on. There's a lot of bad.
I mean, I was waiting to see how far he would go. Right, all right, well, on the flip side of the ball, Ramondre Stevenson hasn't topped 10 carries since week 4. It was actually against Dallas. He has 4 games of 6.7 or fewer points and 0 over 15.5. By the way, last year, 5 games, 6.7 or less. First 2 weeks were included in that when he wasn't even the full-time starter. So, like, so you remember, he was splitting at the beginning of last year. 7 games over 15.5 last year. He is not who he was last year. Is there any hope he even gets to 80% of that meaning? Is 22 this week too high at the running backs for him?
It may be. I see that you have Jones below him, which I respect.
Let's talk about both of them, because, like, Ramondre Stevenson, Aaron Jones. Are there two other running backs that are more untrustworthy, yet still somehow have top 10 potential?
Probably not. Maybe Brian Robinson Jr., who you also have in that range. Like, that's another guy.
Yes,
that
Patriots. And, I mean,
top 10
Brian Robinson.
But tough to trust.
3-4 weeks into the season, we're like, oh my God, Brian Robinson, bell cow, top 5 in RB touch percentage, getting targets, and that has completely gone sideways as well.
Yeah, when I say you can't trust any Packer, I put AJ Dillon and Aaron Jones in that conversation. They're splitting between both of those guys. I think
your pause Dillon's confused me. I was like, back. AJ and Dillon. Who? What? There's like two different people.
The AJ.
Although you could have been saying AJ, Aaron Jones, AJ, comma Dillon, yeah,
exactly.
Comma.
Put them in the same group. They're the same guy at this moment. AJ Dillon was catching passes last week.
Well, then here you go. You ready for this? Yeah. Do you agree with me? This is straight up. You can tell me I'm stupid or not. Okay. Straight up on this show, I have Zach Moss at 21. I have Zach Moss in front of Ramondre Stevenson, Aaron Jones, Brian Robinson, Alexander Mattison. Like, is Is that insane? Zach Moss doesn't stop.
No, he doesn't. He still
has Carolina.
He still had a ton of carries last week. It is Carolina, which you can run all over. They're using both of these guys. And no, you're not. I picked up Zach Moss in a league where I have A.J. Dillon, and I'm going to play Zach Moss ahead of him. I just don't feel like you can trust this Packers offense. As for Ramondre, it's kind of the same thing. I mean, he's not the goal line back there. New England doesn't even get inside the red zone too often, but when they do, they've shown us that
I want him
Zeke is going to get a majority of the touches. What's that?
I wanted him to trade Zeke yesterday. There's rumors
that they should have. Like, they apparently had no calls. So that doesn't surprise me at all.
I don't understand what happened with my quote unquote. I say my because it's like, whatever. I don't understand. Well, you get such a deal for Leonard Williams and then you go quiet. Adoree Jackson. I know Rasul Douglas got traded for less, but just give up take him for a fourth. For a fifth. It's something.
Something. Yeah. Something sort of draft. Versus
nothing.
Package a couple of those to move up in the draft or something. Yeah. Ugh. Gross.
No, what do you think about? Right.
I wasn't. I'm done. Those are just backs that. I mean, I don't really care for. I see where you have James Cook. What do you think about Fournette?
Couldn't care less. I think it's just another ding to James Cook. Because what was Leonard Fournette last year? Pass catcher. Yeah. Maybe he gets some goal line opportunities. Maybe he steps past Latavius Murray, and then, you know, there's going to be a game where, like, oh my God, I can't believe it's Fournette. But you're never going to start him. You can't.
Did someone spend $20 in flex on him?
I didn't even check today.
I'm not one calling.
I haven't looked through the flex waivers yet to tweet him out today. All I know is that I woke up to Jay Felicio whining and crying.
Good.
Missing the Titans defense.
Yeah, great get by the 49ers. Chase Young hasn't been the same guy since his rookie season, but great get. Third-round pick? Kidding me? Jeez.
Last thing I wanted to talk about. So Bills-Bengals breakdown is in there. We kind of know at this point. You just brought up James Cook. Chargers-Jets kind of know also at this point, and you're going to have to watch on the Joshua Palmer situation. So the last one I want to bring up is going to your Cowboys and Eagles game. So the Eagles have the fourth lowest success rate against man and zone blocking rushing. There's only one other team that ranks inside the top four for both man and zone blocking defense powerhouseness. It's the Browns, by the way. They're second and third. They're also the first overall in DVOA rush defense. The Titans are second. Here's where I'm going with this, Manny. Since week four, Tony Pollard is 33rd in fantasy points per game. Despite being top 16 in both running back touch percentage and team target percentage, how far are you going to bench Tony Pollard?
I got him at 15.
I have him at 14. I don't even like him at 14.
I know. It's tough to call him a bust, but man, wasn't there a lot of hype on Tony Pollard? A lot of hype.
Enormous hype.
I think that Bijan got a majority of the steam towards the end, but I remember when we were talking, we did mock drafts on the show in the summer after the NFL draft, and Pollard, everyone was talking about him as a lock and loaded top five running back. He has one game over 72 rushing yards, 53 last week, 30 against the Chargers, 29 against the Niners, 47 against the Pats. And it's not like he's getting carries or he's not getting carries. It's a good thing that he's catching balls out of the backfield for you, because he has been a disappointment. He has two rushing touchdowns on the season. They both came in week one against your Giants when they won 40-0, the Cowboys. So he hasn't scored a touchdown since then. And you want to play him because of the ceiling, of course, but I think you could really, really get by with other options here. Like Pacheco, you have obviously Swift, Mixon. I like Mixon this week against the Bills. They've struggled against the run, so I like
Gus
Mixon over
Edwards.
Him.
I have Gus Edwards.
Yeah, I totally agree with Gus. And I don't want to go this far, but I think Rashad White, too, maybe.
Rashad White's used, so there's two names I wanted to bring up as we got out of here. Rashad White against Houston. I think you can make a case for it. I don't think I could pull that trigger if it's my team as well, because that comes down to, do you really – it's the same thing I always say. Are you okay if you bench Tony Pollard? Rashad White gets you 12, 13, and Tony Pollard goes off. He has his second 20-point game. That's can you live with that? Ask yourself that. Like, can you?
No,
if can't. You can, then do it, because you're like, you know, like, I made the call. It's my team, whatever it might be. That's how you have to present this to yourself. I think there's a case to be made for one more player, And I don't know if I'm out on a limb on this one. I don't know if I'm drunk. I don't know what's going on. I'm still having Chuba? The candy haze. No. I do like Chuba Hubbard against the Colts, though. I would feel better just if I knew that Miles Sanders was 100%. They're obviously not going to tell us, but if he was 100% last week, I would move Chuba Hubbard up. Like, but he looked fine. He looked okay. He looked like he was 100%. Maybe they're not telling us. And that's not the name. Jerome Ford against Arizona. Jerome Ford got the grind out the game carries. Most of his touches came in the fourth quarter with the grind out the game scenario for somebody coming off an ankle sprain who they barely used for the first three quarters.
Right. Yeah.
And we know he's the lead and he's facing the Cardinals against Clayton Tune. I'm like, am I crazy or did Jerome Ford feel like a borderline RB1 this week? Like I feel, and I am an 18 and that's eight over consent. Like, tell me how nuts I am. I would debate Jerome Ford versus Tony Pollard if it was my lineup.
Yeah, I don't think you're nuts. I don't think most people would debate that if they were a box score chasing. If they just looked at the box score and they seen the snaps, because it was basically split between three of them, Hunt and Pierre Strong in there. But I saw what you saw. Yeah. The end of the game, they closed that out with Ford. And Ford's been pretty good this season. The fact that he was able to play when he was doubtful, and we had some fun about the ladder drills that he had on the SiriusXM show. I would consider that one because I feel like Arizona is they're going to struggle significantly in this football game to score points, and Cleveland's going to put them in their offense in situations to score. And the only thing is Hunt may get a goal line touch or two and he could get a touchdown, but still Ford is a really good play. I would still play Pollard because of that ceiling, but I think it's fair to have that conversation, and definitely got to play Pollard over White too. It just, I don't think you can live with yourself. The ceiling is still very high for Pollard, but I think Dak's gonna sling the ball around the field.
I think that's very possible as well.
Hopefully it's Eagles corners.
Yeah, hopefully. If you're looking to win some stuff, by the way, also in hockey, I mean, he's nailing those hockey picks as he always does over at FTN, code all and get you 20% off over at The Athletic. There's always some promotion. By the way, we also have word of who's going to be the offensive coordinator for Antonio Pierce. It is Bo Hardigray. By the way, do you know who he was under? No. Adam Gase. I don't know if this is good or bad.
Yeah, that's right. Adam Gase.
It's an Adam DeGase disciple, kind of. I don't know if this is good or bad. We'll find out. We'll see what it looks
and wait,
like.
And before you bounce, was that true, a report that had was it O'Connell traded to San Fran? Is that, did that actually happen? That didn't happen.
No.
It couldn't happen. No, they can't be traded now. The trade deadline's over. No. All right. Yeah. Fake news.
Fake news. Just like firing somebody inside of a fortune cookie. But what isn't fake news is follow me at Chris Meany, and that we'll be back on Saturday morning on SiriusXM at 9 a.m. to get you the rest of the things as I have to go fix this lineup situation over on Flex as the dog squeaks. I don't know if that's because what they ate or I don't know. We'll find out. It's going to be interesting the rest of the day. More candy. Yeah.
Oh, bye. Man.